Translation. Narada Muni continued, "Being invited to that festival, I also joined, and surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, the Prajapatis, the great demigods in charge of the affairs of the universe, forcefully cursed me with these words, 'Because you have committed an offence, may you immediately become a Shudra devoid of beauty.'" Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As far as Kirtan is concerned, the Shastras say, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant the glories of the Supreme Lord and the holy name of the Supreme Lord. This is clearly stated, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. One should chant about the glory and glorify Lord Vishnu, not any demigod. Unfortunately, there are foolish persons who invent some process of kirtan on the basis of demigods' names. This is an offence. Kirtan means glorifying the Supreme Lord, not any demigod. Sometimes people invent Kali Kirtan or Shiva Kirtan, and even big sannyasis in the Mayavad school say that one may chant any name and still get the same result. But here we find that millions and millions of years ago, when Narada Muni was a Gandharva, he neglected the order to glorify the Lord, and being mad in the association of women, he began to chant otherwise. Thus he was cursed to become a Shudra. His first offence was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women, and another offence was that he considered ordinary songs like cinema songs and other such songs to be equal to Sankirtan. For this offence he was punished with becoming a Shudra. Om Aganti Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svavadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu O Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is carrying on the pastime where Narada Muni is explaining the instructions for human civilization, human beings. And at the end of this chapter he's starting to explain that about his past experience, how once he was a Gandharva. So these Gandharvas, they're like angels. They can sing beautifully and they can also fly. Is that right? Do they have wings, Gandharvas? Anybody know? Yeah, they do, don't they? There's Kinaras. What's the Kinaras? I've forgotten. The Kinaras are one type. I think they can fly. The Gandharvas can sing. And so obviously when we have some opulence, the natural tendency is to become proud. You know, this is why our main motto in devotional service, our main mantra is Trinada Pi Sunichana. Material existence means automatically we're in competition with others. And so we're always pushing ourselves forward to be better than others. And in whatever way we can, we'll try and do that. So this, even the heavenly planets, this is the case. Still, some degree, lust, anger, greed, all these things are there, but to a lesser degree. The mode of goodness is more prominent. But still, one can become, one can fall even from the mode of goodness. We are performing activities in the mode of goodness in this movement. They're putting us on a platform, if we follow it properly, where we can eventually go up to Shuddhasattva. That means that we can worship Krishna without any material motive, solely for Krishna's pleasure. But until we come to that platform, we're performing activities in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. And this is keeping us in this mode where we can very easily take to a devotional service. Prabhupada explained it's like a moment's association with a pure devotee can give us complete perfection. How is that possible, a moment? What can we gain in a moment? And so I'm just making the example. Prabhupada gave the answer that it's like dry wood. If you get a light and you put it to dry wood, it flares up. So that's what Prabhupada is giving an explanation to this. So if we remain dry by following this process, very easily we can keep this process going and increase our devotional attitude. One of the things Prabhupada said is that the problem with most of my disciples, they want to go to the heavenly planets. But then this is actually a very dangerous situation, because we see here Narada Muni is explaining how one becomes proud of one's situation. When one's in a nice situation, it's very difficult to perform austerities. And so we are in the perfect situation. We've not too much suffering, enough to keep us on our toes. And not too much happiness, enough to keep us, you know, sober. But here, Narada Muni gets caught up, you know, imagine being surrounded by beautiful men or beautiful women. And you've got a beautiful voice, and they're all looking with amazement. You know, you get carried away. So he started singing. He forgot the goal. This is the thing. Too much opulence, and we forget the goal. And so as a result, he was cursed. You know, glorification, sankirtan, is not meant for our own glorification. It's meant for glorification of the Supreme Lord. So sankirtan, that's the first part here. Previous verse was mentioned in sankirtan, and I heard there was a nice lecture yesterday on this glories of the holy name. So here's misuse of sankirtan. So everything can be used in Krishna. What does sankirtan mean? Sankirtan means anything we have we can use to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not necessarily that we chant the holy name, although this is the primal way to perform sankirtan. This is what Lord Chaitanya did. He specifically spent 6 years of his sojourn in this world chanting the holy name. So there's great meaning to that. He was only here for 48 years, but first part of his life. And even in his early life, he was chanting in Sri Vasangam, in the association of the devotees. So this is prominent. And so although we perform other activities, and they're all considered sankirtan, depending on the consciousness that we do these things in, and on the result, the main one is to be chanting the holy name of the Lord. Because Prabhupada said if we have good sadhana, he says this means good management. Sometimes, you know, we get caught up in too much management, and then it can become material if we haven't got the sadhana. So Prabhupada made that point that even if one's not expert at a particular, it's better if we are expert, obviously. But even if we're not materially expert, if we're actually trying to purify ourselves, then Krishna can make up so many differences. Where's that? What's that verse? Ananyas chintyanto, ma'am, is it? Ye ganaha pariupaste. Desham nitya bayuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyam. So this is the beauty of this movement, is that simply by this simple process, we achieve more than one goal. We purify ourselves, we make ourselves competent to perform service, and we also attract others. So this is the Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. So here, it's making the point that what's wrong with this chanting? What's any verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam which emphasize this? The fallacy of chanting the names of the demigods. Not necessarily just the demigods, any material sound vibration, because if we chant the name of the demigods in the wrong consciousness, it's a material sound vibration. If we're glorifying the demigods as devotees of the Lord, then that's another thing. But if we're doing it for sense gratification, then it's material consciousness. So any material sound vibration is detrimental. There's a verse in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've got any scholars today. There's two verses together. And they're talking about... You should know. Vachas chitram padam haya yaso. Vayasam tetha ushanti manasha. So it's saying those words that do not describe the glories of the Lord are considered by saintly people to like places of pilgrimage for crows. This is how good this material sound that we make, it's places for crows. Where does a crow go? When do we see crows? Do we see them on beautiful lakes and gardens, sweet smelling places? No, exactly the opposite. There's another example. Prabhupada says when we're croaking, it's like a frog. And what's a frog doing? It's croaking away. Can anybody make the sound of a frog? Have you got any good imitators here? Prabhupada's a good imitator, actually. And the frog's croaking away. And what's he doing? What's coming up behind it? Big black snake, big black python. And this is what's happening in life. You know, everything seems to be very, you know, alive today. But we were speaking about one devotee who left his body last week, was it? And somebody said, I was amazed he left his body. What have we got to be amazed about? We shouldn't be amazed at what happens in this world. Any moment, we don't know. Prabhupada said, this lifetime is like the water on a leaf in a breeze. Now, is that very stable? So this is material life. I was just talking about this body the other day. It's amazing how it stands up, isn't it? You know, it's just a bag of bones with all muscles around it. And there's nothing to fasten it up to, but it's walking about. And just one of them little muscles in the wrong place gets cut and collapse. And we think we're so great. We think we're so powerful. We will maintain. We will strive. We will conquer. I was reading the other day in this book by Why, How and What, about one person. Do you remember Shackleton? I remember reading about him, but it was in the beginning of this century. They'd conquered the South Pole. You know, they got there and the Norwegians had already been there. But then he couldn't get back. So he remained in the South Pole. That was Scott, wasn't it? And then later they thought, now then, where else can we... This is Vachat... What is it? Vachashiyat... How's it going? Nayat Vachas Chitram Padam Hare Yasho. These are useless topics. Useless activities. So then they were thinking of something. When we forget Krishna, we'll think of anything. So now what can we do? We're the most powerful nation in the world. We have to prove it. Nobody's been from the North Pole to the South Pole. So we'll do that. We'll freeze ourselves to death on the North Pole. Then we'll get burnt in the middle. And then we'll go to the South Pole. And then... This will be a great step forward for mankind. So it sounds stupid, but people are caught up in these things, you know. Anyway, we'll move on. And what should the words be about? What's that verse? What's the second part? Tadvar Vishago, Tat Janatagla Vipavo, Yasmin, Padislokam, Abhavatya Api. What's the rest? Namantasya Sankatani Yat Srinvanti. Yeah, I forget it. Srinvanti what? Sarava, yeah. So anyway, on the other hand, those words which are full of the glories of name, form, pastimes of the unlimited Lord are a different creation meant to bring about a revolution in the minds of the misdirected society. This is the Sangatan movement. Such words, even though improperly pronounced, are heard and sung by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So what does this mean? Narada Muni, he was chanting, he was doing it, but he wasn't chanting about Krishna. Even if we're chanting about Krishna, even if we don't get it right, you know, it's still actually effective. I remember when they first went to China, I remember reading how Tamil Krishna was wondering why it was taking so long for the Chinese to get purified. Probably was pushing them a bit, I don't know. But anyway, and he came to the conclusion they're not pronouncing the Maha Mantra right because they don't pronounce the R's, do they? They say Krishna. Hare Krishna. So he was thinking they have to pronounce it right, to, you know, but I see that's not the case. You know, because really it's the meditation what's behind it. Somebody who's short-tongued, it means he can't go back to Godhead, right? No. And so, so in this movement at the moment, we're going through a situation where we've been through what we call direct preaching. Is that right? We go out on the street, we meet people, we give them a book, give them prasadam, and they become enlivened. Some of them, anyway. And we start to bring them back to the temple. And we used to get many people coming to the temple at the weekend. We used to, you know, we're waiting for them. They used to come through the door in droves, new people. Well, almost. And but now it's not the case, is it? It's like in drips and drabs. And that's so, you know, we have to find another way to preach. And so we might think, well, we can't alter the Maha Mantra. We've got to, you know, the Dunga should be there, cartels playing on time, and harmonium, these things. But now we have to find ways and means to attract them with the music. Prabhupada, when he came to Tompkins Square Park, he started chanting under a tree. And then somebody, he was chanting with one of these tom-tom, weren't he? And then somebody else came along with guitar, and another instrument, and Prabhupada was welcoming them all. Another one came with a mouth organ. And so we have to be a little bit innovative, you know, make this music which is attached to the Maha Mantra suitable for the ears of the general populace. So this is happening now. People are starting to get bands together, Hare Krishna bands, so many things. So we shouldn't be stereotyped in the way we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Obviously when we're in the temple, this is a different thing. When in the temple, we should keep proper standards. And what is it? Madanga, cartels in Kirtan. And then Bhajan is Madanga cartels, and we can have harmonium. Is that the proper standard? Anyway, we'll have to ask Jananda Maharaj. He's doing some research into this. Prabhupada did that, yeah. Okay, so so who will give up here in this glorification of the Lord? Narada Muni did. Nivrittar Sher Upagiya Manat Bhavosajat Shotram Anobirat Ka Uttamashloka Gunanavanat Pumam Virayate Pumam Pashognat. He says, who will not cease hearing this sound vibration which is coming in disciplic succession except a butcher or one who is killing himself? So, I listened to many classes by senior devotees, very senior devotees, and nearly every one of them, they finished by glorifying the power of the holy name. There's one devotee who used to come here, he still does occasionally, they call him Dr. Fakir Mohan. He's an old devotee from India, he's probably in his 80s now, and he's very slight in build, but his appearance is very humble. And when he gives class, he just gives class on the holy name. And after the class, everybody gets the bead bag out and starts chanting. It's so important. But he says, you know, if there's any lacking in our devotional service, Naam Prabhu, he says. Naam Prabhu. Okay, so... So after the ways of the authorities, three kinds of chanting, japa, kirtan and sankirtan. So what do we experience in japa? Sometimes get some pleasure, but you have to work for it, don't you? Sometimes you feel satisfied chanting, but it's really hard work. What about kirtan? We regularly get pleasure, you know, it's quite relatively easy. But in sankirtan, we always get pleasure. Has anybody noticed? When we go out and distribute the holy name to somebody else, then there's like another taste there. But Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there's no one more dear than one who spreads this holy name, one who preaches to the devotees. So this is a big austerity in this day and age. It's described as being the easiest process, but we see by numbers that sankirtan's poorly attended. You know, compared to the devotees who are in this area, we get maybe 15 going out on Saturday. 15 devotees on Saturday afternoon. And there's probably about 300 or 400 devotees around. So it's a sankirtan jagya. It means we have to make an effort, we have to overcome the mind, we have to engage. And it's like the ground bait when you go fishing. Anybody been fishing? Recently? So we get breadcrumbs, we throw them on the surface of the water. Why? You know, they cover a large area. We only have to one or two fish. All the fish who are from, you know, a few yards around, they come into that area. It brings them close. And then in the middle of it is the hook. And then we can get, and then a fish can be caught. So similarly, when we go out on sankirtan, so many people become attracted. It brings them a little bit closer. And then the book distribution becomes so effective. Sankirtan and book distribution together, so important. Actually, the power of the holy name, it says, Queen Kunti prays. There's one verse, actually, in the Puranas. Nam no hi yavati shakti, you know this one. Papam niharane hare, tavat kartam nishaknati, patakam pataki nara. It says, by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is able to counteract more sins than he's able to commit. So that means every devotee is completely free from any material attachments. Is that right? By once chanting the holy name of the Lord. So what's wrong if we're not? Queen Kunti says that there's a problem here. Janmaishvarya Shrutashribir. Eda Manat Manampuram. Janma. Anybody got a good birth in this temple room? High birth. That's good. Janma Aishvarya. Anybody very opulent? Very rich. Shruta, anybody very learned? Last, anybody any very beautiful? You don't have to answer that one. It says all these four are actually disqualifications. These things bring pride. It says that the problem that we don't get the result is that there's pride in the heart. Well, if there's pride in the heart, it means we're dependent on one of these things. And then it's difficult to chant the holy name of the Lord with feeling. What did Prabhupada, how should we chant the holy name of the Lord? In a humble state of mind, thinking oneself more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. And what's the other quality? Like a baby crying for his mother. So when we chant like that, then we get the result. But anyway, Krishna can help us if we're not able to, if we have these opulences. Krishna can give us a hand. Would everybody like Krishna to give him a hand? I think I spoke about this last time, didn't I? That he said that he takes everything away from the devotee who's too attached. And then the devotee has no alternative. So if you're ready for that, Krishna can do it. Well, actually, an higher platform is that we learn that whatever we have, that it's actually not ours. We can use it in Krishna's service. And this keeps us on the on the pure platform where we can chant the holy name nicely. So, offences in chanting. It says here that there's two offences committed. Can anybody recognise them? It says that thus he was cursed to become a Shudra. His first offence was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of women. So we should have men-only Sankirtan party. And another offence was that he considered ordinary songs like cinema songs. Oh, sorry, it says lusty women. Sorry about that. He says that another offence was that he considered ordinary songs like cinema and songs and other songs to be equal to Sankirtan. So, and which two offences are appropriate here? Well, I put two here. It's that, one offence is that it's chanting the names of the demigods. It's like equating the demigods to be equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also, part of that offence, according to Harinam Chintamani by Haridas Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, sorry, it's Haridas Thakur who's speaking, is saying that if we equate the holy name to be different from Krishna, that's an offence. He says, but in the early stages of devotional service, we can't really equate the name to be Krishna, can we? We don't have probably that experience. And so is it offensive chanting? It says that if we chant under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, then this offence is eventually nullified. And by repeatedly chanting, that overcomes the offence. And it's when we come to the stage of nishta, Then we can see the holy name of the Lord is non-different from the Supreme Lord. So, this is one thing. And the second offence is the tenth offence, isn't it? Maintaining material attachments. Narada Muni is maintaining his material concept and using the name in that way. Maintaining material attachment. That means that when we're given a particular formula by the guru or the spiritual master or by Krishna, then we take it very seriously. So if we're still maintaining our material attachments and trying to make progress, it's like keeping the anchor down. So this is the last offence. Now there's two kinds of namabhas. When we chant without offence, we come to the stage of namabhas chanting. so what's the... There's two types of namabhas. So we have to be careful that we get the right one, this is the point. Narada Muni got the wrong one. Well, we don't want to make that offence. So there's one is that namabhas is like... Shudanam is when we get the full light of the Holy Name, the full power of the holy name. It's like the sun when it's fully manifested. We get full rays of the sun. Very, very powerful. But when it's cloudy, we get partial rays. So this is like namabhas. So this is called obstructed light. Obstructed light, or the holy name is obstructed. So this is the one that we want. When it's obstructed, it means we're getting some benefit. But it's not the full benefit. And when we chant purely, we'll get the full benefit. And the other one is called reflected light. Does anybody remember the seed verses of the Bhagavatam? Ite artam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmani. What's that? Talking about the ignorance that in this material world, the light is reflected from the spiritual world via the sun. Or from the sun, it's sometimes reflected into a cave. So it's not the real thing. It's like a reflection of the real thing. Or that verse describes that we see the light in this material world, and the things that it illuminates, all the things are separate from Krishna. And so this type of chanting, when we're consciously seeing the holy name as different from Krishna and we're using it in the wrong way, it waters the weeds of devotional, of material desire. We all have weeds growing in the garden of our devotional garden. And the main Bhakti Lata bead is sprouting. But along with it are also many, many other things. These become manifest as we chant. And if we don't have the proper focus of the holy name, we start to be chanting for the wrong reasons. It's very subtle. Pride comes into the heart. We think we're the doer. And we become proud of our activities. And when we're chanting, we're becoming more and more convinced that we're the doer. And then we're becoming more and more estranged from the actual goal. And so it's described that we shouldn't go for this reflected light, but we should chant and be on the platform of obstructed light. He says Mayavadi's type of chanting is like that. They don't understand. They're convinced that the name of the Lord is just a temporary material manifestation like us, and so is his name. So they chant with offense, and they chant for the wrong reason. That's why he said we shouldn't hear the holy name from the lips of such a person, because it doesn't carry the proper potency. I'll come on to the last subject here. I thought I'd speak about that there was a big reaction. He was cursed to be a Shudra. Imagine being a Gandhava. And all of a sudden you're put in the position of a Shudra on this material, on this earthly planet. So I was thinking that this movement's going through purification, and we've seen in the past we've done things wrong. Narada Muni did something wrong. He started, diverting from chanting the Maha Mantra for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he became more interested in himself. It was like a deviation. So when there's deviations in our own devotional service, then to that degree we deviate, there'll definitely be a reaction. It's not that there won't be a reaction. But if our consciousness is not apichet sudaracharo, bhajate mam ananyabhak, if we're properly trying to follow and we're open to correction, then things go on. We get a little reaction, but Krishna doesn't take it so seriously. But if we're, just allowing things to go on, then at some point, bang, big reaction. Both individually, temple-wise, and ISKCON-wise. So it's not just for ourselves that we're trying to understand this philosophy and apply it properly, but for the benefit of everybody else. We're all helping one another to stay up. And so if we feel that there's something maybe not quite right, then we should be inquisitive to actually come to the bottom of what's actually the situation. If we see something which is going away from the mood of the Sankirtan movement, then we should inquire about that. We shouldn't just say, this is not my service, this is somebody else's service. Because at the end of the day, if we're on that boat and that boat goes down, we can say, it was not to do with me. It was him. Now we're on the boat. So everybody's responsible. Okay? So reactions come. Is anybody any questions? Any questions?